Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast. Today, Joe Dutra joins us. He's the president and CEO of Kimmy Candy and part of the two-thirds decision at the Supreme Court. Coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program after sadly a long absence, but glad to have you back, Joe Dutra, who is president and CEO of Kimmy Candy. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Good morning, Sam. Good to see you.
Thank you. Good to be seen, by the way. So I want to start out with talking about your recent victory at the Supreme Court after the district court on the two-thirds rule for passing tax increases. What were your thoughts on why you got into it in the first place as a private business and now with the success?
You know, I think what happened was is we all read about, you know, things and taxes and what the government's doing, but nobody wants to get involved. And so I was contacted by one of the senators and they asked me if I would put my name on this lawsuit because it was costing us over the last couple of years about $15,000 a year in excess taxes that we didn't believe we should have sunsetted. And what ended up happening is at the very beginning, I was a bit apprehensive. You know, Shannon said to me, she says, you know, if you do this, you know, you're gonna really make the governor and some people mad at you. And I said, well, but I think it's some people have to just stand up once in a while and say, this is not fair. And so it took a long time. There was really no repercussions against it. But there was a time when we thought that we weren't gonna win. And then finally through the Supreme Court, you know, they ruled in our favor that this needed to be, as per the Constitution, a two-thirds vote, and they didn't do it before. So, you know, for us, they're gonna put back $107 million back into the kitty again, and hopefully all the businesses, I think there's 22,000 businesses in Nevada that will end up getting some kind of a rebate or credit.
And the DMV will also have to return money that they overcharge, even though it was only a dollar per car, right. They will have to return that money as well. Did it restore your faith, if you had lost faith at all, in the justice system, and especially in the Supreme Court?
You know, it did. Well, it renewed my faith because, you know, all of a sudden when you think that you are the little guy, you're the person that doesn't have a chance unless you stand up. And most people don't want to stand up because they're afraid of any repercussions either from politics or the government, you know, because it seems like now we're so polarized as a society that you're the one side or the other. But I think what you have to look at is what is fair? You know, what affects the common man and person? And we don't realize that when you impose more taxes on businesses, it also affects the employees because it means that the companies don't have the same cash flow. They have to look at, you know, cutting everywhere they can. And unfortunately, you know, most companies, it's your labor cost is your most expensive cost.
It's also interesting that the courts are a different animal from the other two legislative branches, well, legislative and executive branch. Linda Greenhouse, writing in the New York Times over the last year, and that's a liberal commentator, even though I thought she was straight down the middle when she was a reporter on the Supreme Court, but has written that the Supreme Court is a different animal and that it doesn't abide by politics as usual and it has its own reputation to take care of. And so don't naturally assume that because people have been pushed from a liberal or conservative side that that's the way they're going to end up voting on the court. The court has its own standing to uphold, and I think that's a very interesting perspective to right. look at, especially as we go through the next few years. A lot of the media in the last year has concentrated on all the negative stories that have come out of COVID, and certainly there were plenty of those. But there were also other stories that were positive, and I'd like to share as many of these as I can with people so that they understand that even when there's bad, there's good going on at the same time. Your business actually has thrived throughout COVID, correct?
Well, we had a few months in May and June of last year that our business went down significantly. But you know what it did, Sam? It actually it created a whole new business model for us because what we realized, you know, we were in large retailers and we were in all the little mom and pop candy stores and yogurt shops and across the United States. And when the government decided that those were non-essential businesses, that they all had to close. And so what happened was is our whole line dried up overnight. You know, companies that were buying truckloads of candy from us all of a sudden said, hey, we have nowhere to sell it. And so what we did is we reevaluated. You know, we looked at where we needed to be and what stores were considered, you know, essential. So, you know, convenience, grocery, big box stores, you know, Lowe's and those kind of stores were all kept open. And so what we did is we redesigned the way we were doing business. And so we pushed now into going into healthier products, you know, protein candies, candies with probiotics and different kind of supplements. And we're getting those into mainstream yogurt, not yogurt shops, but into grocery and convenience because it fits a niche. You know, everybody started to go in and buy products that they thought were healthier for them, but they still wanted a treat. And so when you looked at what happened over last year, people were stuck at home. They were really evaluating what they were eating because, you know, there's a lot of extra weight in the community with people sitting home and eating snacks, right?
The COVID-15.
That's right.
If you're only lucky.
Yeah, so we reevaluated the way we did business. And so I think for us now we're starting to really thrive. And we've seen a huge turnaround in our business since probably September, October. Everything's kind of turned back to getting normal. Things are getting open again. We're seeing a huge demand. We're also seeing some supply chain issues. You know, before we were able to order a truckload of chocolate and get it within a couple of weeks, and now we have some suppliers talking about, you know, about 14 weeks, 16 weeks before we can get chocolate, just because they're so backed up. You know, all of a sudden there was no demand, and now there was a high demand, and so we're seeing that as a problem.
You're also doing private label, correct?
We are, yeah. And the private label products for us they were in grocery and they were in big box and their business just continued to grow all the way through the COVID. So there were certain companies, you know, and it was how you were positioned in the market. For us, we thought our big customers were companies like Ross and TJ Maxx and all these companies like big box, you know, stores in the malls. Well, when they shut the malls down, then we were basically out of business. And so these other customers that we have that we do private label for that are national, they just kept growing. And so their businesses just continued to grow every day. And so, which is good for us because we're still making candy, but now we're starting to get our own product lines into some of these national store chains and convenience stores.
Okay, and this is really part of being an entrepreneur, which is, it's not an uphill slide the whole time. I mean, life is ups and downs. Now you've been through the recession of 2008, now you've been through COVID. Each time, businesses get whacked upside the head, but the successful ones learn to pivot, change, and move forward. But it takes a lot of stomach tensing, doesn't it?
You have to have a lot of grit. You know, everybody says, you know, no, if you don't take chances, you don't have gains and stuff. And I think that we've been fortunate. You know, there was a few months there that I thought, you know, I had made the wrong decision of, you know, keeping all my employees and trying to keep, because I didn't know how long it was going to last, right? If I had known it was going to be, you know, almost a year, I would have maybe done things differently. But we decided that we were going to try to keep our core group of employees because we thought that was so important for us. And so, but you're right, you know, it's been an up and down. All my life it's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And as long as you survive, you become a little smarter and a little tougher. And so far, so good.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. The life of an entrepreneur is not one for the weak of heart. Now, you came out of California, and you ran your business there. For those that may not have heard this story from you before, tell us why you came to Nevada and why Nevada made a lot more sense for you than California to do business.
So originally, I was a farmer in Sacramento, California, and I started the candy company on the ranch. I ended up buying 40,000 pounds of candy that had come out of Busan, Korea, and I needed to figure out how to sell it. And
bought it on a whim?
Well, I bought it, I thought it was a business deal. And so a friend of mine came to me and he says, hey, there's 40,000 pounds of candy-coated chocolate-covered sunflower kernels sitting in the Oakland port collecting demurrage. You can buy it cheap and I'll sell it and we'll make some money on it. And I thought, oh, this is great. I said, can you sell candy? He said, I can sell anything. Well, unfortunately, you never figured out how to sell candy. So I read a great book called The Emperors of Chocolate. You know, it motivated me. It talked about how Hershey's and Mars had started and struggled and, you know, went at belly up and came back again. But it was a good industry. It was recession-proof. It grew every year. It had great morals, family-run businesses. And I believed it would be a great thing for me to start this and have the potential for my children to have a legacy. And so I decided to start Kimmy Candy over a few martinis one night. And since then, it kept growing. And we got some traction. We were producing in Busan, Korea until 2008. But in 2008, I had looked around the United States for a place to put a factory. Unfortunately, California was so restrictive with all the regulations and taxes that I looked at Texas, Utah, and of course, you know, Nevada. And then as I'm traveling through, I almost put the factory in El Paso, Texas. And then I thought, no, I'm going to take another look at Reno. And I came into Reno and there was a great little bar, Penny's Bar, on Mill Street. And I walked in and the people were so nice and they were, you know, accommodating. And it was like, well, welcome to Reno. We hope you put your business here. And I thought, wow, this is really nice. And so in 2005, I leased a building. 2006, I bought it, I built it out. And in 2008, I brought all the manufacturing from Korea back to Reno. And since then, Reno has been just a great area for us to be in. You know, distribution's good here. We were fortunate enough in 2016, we won the Presidential E Award for exports. We're only the ninth company to ever win it in Nevada in 60 years and the first candy company to ever win it in the United States. And then in 2017, we represented the state of Nevada at the very first Made in America Day at the White House. They picked one company from each state to go to the White House, and it was an amazing day for us also to be so honored. And so, you know, Reno, when I moved here, it felt like Sacramento did 50 years ago. You know, that the government really enjoyed having businesses move in because you were creating jobs, you were creating things that allowed people to, you know, thrive. And what happened was here is that's exactly like it it was when I moved here. You know, it was just an amazing place to be. And since then, we've outgrown the old factory. In 2017, we purchased another building, and we ended up tripling the size of Kimmy Candy. So we've been really fortunate to be part of everyone in Nevada, and we're honored to be here.
Well, you know, the irony is that Nevada has become this candy capital, really, in terms of, you know, Mars family being here. Ethel M. Candies, you know, became legendary over the last, 30 odd years, maybe even 40 years now. And now Kimmy Candy. So all ends of the state, we have candy that is internationally renowned.
Yep. Well, you know, we're just trying to make Nevada a little sweeter.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of your international exploits right after this timeout.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Joe Dutre. He's the president and CEO of Kimmy Candy, based in Reno but selling around the world. With your ranching and agricultural exploits, you did business and do business in Saudi Arabia. Tell us how that started and what it's like to do business in this country, which to most Americans is a mysterious country.
It is. I started another company when I was farming, and then I had gone out of business, went broke, and I ended up wanting an adventure. I had a few dollars in those days, and I ended up working for Prince Mugran bin Abdulaziz in Saudi Arabia, in Hayal, Saudi Arabia, running a 40,000 acre farm that he had just developed.
Okay, so just tell us first, set the scene. So how far away from Riyadh, for example, the capital, is that?
So it is about 400 miles north, probably northeast of Riyadh.
And what kind of area is it?
So it's just desert. You know, what happens is Saudi Arabia is primarily a large desert, but they have an aquifer that runs, the Tabuk aquifer that runs out of Jordan, runs under the sands of Saudi Arabia. So in the north, you can put a well in and you can be getting water at 120 feet. If you go all the way down to Riyadh, you have to pull water from 2,000 feet. So it's quite a bit of difference. So Hayal was kind of in the middle. You know, we were putting wells in at about 900 feet. So we had about 345, 110 acre pivots that we were growing wheat and barley and potatoes and some other things there. And so I was running it. I was a senior agronomist. My background at college at Cal Poly was agronomy. So I ended up working for the Prince. I came back to the United States. I was broke. I had two kids and had to go back in and live with my parents and my in my mid-30s to try to get started again, and I started a little consulting company called West Tech Incorporated. And what we did is we were teaching people, primarily in Brazil, how to grow tomatoes. And that kept me alive for a while, but then it started that I saw there was an opportunity of selling seed and equipment in Brazil, and so we started selling seed. We represented a number of seed companies here. And then 6 or 7 years later, I got a call from one of the kids I had trained in Saudi Arabia. And he says, Joe, he says, we need some corn seed. And I said, oh, Muhammad, I don't sell corn seed. He goes, you do now. And I said, he says, because what had happened is all the kids I had trained in Saudi had become the heads of all the biggest farming operations in Saudi Arabia. So I looked at starting a corn seed business. I found a company that I could work with, and I private labeled some corn seed and started selling corn seed into Saudi Arabia. And after about 3 or 4 years, I became one of the largest corn seed distributors in the Middle East. And that started, you know, putting the office in Cairo, and just here in the last 6 or 8 months, we just opened up an office in Libya. So selling agricultural chemicals, you know, seed, non-GMO, mainly all our seeds, non-GMO that we sell, alfalfa, corn, and some vegetable seeds.
So what misconceptions do Americans have about the Middle East?
Well, in some places it's not a misconception, but, you know, Saudi Arabia is, you know, if you've never been to Saudi Arabia, you think it's, you know, people on camels and stuff, but it's, you know, the new big cities, Jeddah and Riyadh, they're just, you know, beautiful, amazing new cities. You know, they've got like a line sometimes of the old city and the new city, and it'll be mud huts on this side and beautiful skyscrapers on the other side. A lot of money in the Middle East. You know, they've opened up quite a bit. The new crown prince, he is starting to open up things where women can drive. When I was there in the 80s, you know, you never saw a woman working in a store. You know, the banks couldn't have women working in banks. They couldn't drive themselves. And so, but now there's actually women driving in Saudi Arabia. They're opening up the culture. They want to be, you know, more westernized, and I think it's a great opportunity. They got a lot of money, a lot of oil. Agriculture could be huge in Saudi Arabia. I know the reason they really developed their agriculture, because I think it was George Shultz in 73 said, eat your oil.
Right.
And it made them realize that, you know, they needed to have their own agriculture so they could feed their people.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back more with Joe Dutra, a fascinating character, right after this.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Joe Dutra. He's the president and CEO of Kimmy Candy. So one last thing about the Middle East here before we go. So what did you think about the Abraham Accords, where you've got Israel now connected with UAE and Saudi Arabia and other countries, whether it's officially or unofficially, but this interaction is something that most people wouldn't have believed.
You wouldn't have. You know, when I just did for Kimmy Candy, I did an international kind of a Zoom meeting in Dubai about a month and a half ago. And every country over there, you know, like Kuwait and UAE, they were saying, we welcome the Jews. You know, we welcome this community to be part of it. There's always been politics, I think, unfortunately. But, you know, because I told them, I said, you know, most of our packaging has kosher symbols on it. They said, no problem. And you couldn't have heard that, you know, 5 years ago. They wouldn't have allowed that into their country. But now countries like Dubai, UAE are saying, hey, you know, we're just one nation, you know, and so it's an amazing event.
And having you on the program is an amazing event. Always fascinating to talk to you. Glad we got you back on the program. Come back again, will you?
Great. Will do, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com. As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our Nevada Newsmakers channel.